A no-no for Joe and no runs for DeGrom. Let's play ball. Welcome in, everybody. It's time for Leading Off right here on Fantasy Pros. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia. That is Dan Harris, and it's you, and we are starting the show today. We've got a lot to get to. My goodness gracious, so much going on. We got a 12-game slate tonight in Major League Baseball. And on top of that, we've also got a ton of news to break down from the weekend. We've got controversial calls at home plate. We've got DeGrom starts when they can't score a run. And I feel like the theme of the season so far is kind of like that REM song, Everybody Hurts. And I feel like everybody's on the IL. Dan Harris, I'm so glad you've gotten back from the alternative site along with me for today's show. How was your weekend, my friend?
Good. We got some friends joining us at the alternate site here with Domingo Kerman and Christian Javier, I believe. But my weekend was good. It was glad. Full weekend of baseball. I'm ready to go.
All right. So first, the good and the bad. And we always hold ourselves accountable here on the program. The good, Dan hit on Joe Musgrove. I preferred McCullers on Friday night, but he was more Team Musgrove. And boy, oh boy, were you right. The first no-hitter in Padres team history. So congratulations to that Joe from one Joe to another Joe. Also, Charlie Morton was a strong oppo play. Hooray. The bad was the Houston stack was not good. It did not deliver Friday night. So we go back. At bad results, good information. And I think this is a lesson to be learned out there in the DFS community. You can do all the right things. At the end of the day, it's baseball. And because of the 70% failure rate, things might still not hit. That's why you play the long game. It's better to play smaller over a long period of time than it is to necessarily go all the way out there, you know, spending all your bankroll in one weekend. But we get back to the grind today. It's Monday. It's a new week. So let's start that new week with a little bit of what stood out on the weekend. Obviously, I mentioned the Joe Musgrove a no-hitter. Victor Caratini, by the way, the guy who caught the last two, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And our boy JD Martinez, Dan Harris, is really back in full strength. I know we touched on it last week, but my goodness, the old man is swinging the bat again.
Yeah, with Musgrove, it's the Rangers. They can't hit whatsoever right now. But what really stood out was there was a clear change in his approach. I think he threw his fastball eight times in the entire game. If you watched it, especially at the end, it was just everything was movement, slider, curveball, cutter, and everything like that. That's really impressive to see. And if he sticks with that, man, he's going to do some dangerous things this year. For Martinez, oh man. I mean, I know it's the Orioles, especially when he hit the three home runs yesterday, but yeah, he is back. He is back in full force. If you did buy in, because he cost you on draft day because everybody wanted a piece of the bounce back. Yeah, he's fully back. It's going to be a huge season. I love it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, if you're a Pirates fan, you just got to be so pissed. Like, everything you trade turns
the
gold.
Everything you trade turns
the gold. It's unbelievable. Yeah. Glasnow, Cole, Joe Musgrove, the list goes on and on. Austin Meadows, but I want to, the Pirate fans are dealing with enough. Eduardo Escobar homered in all three games this weekend. Yep. Franmil Reyes, too, was quite the franimal. He had a bunch of dingers, too. And, of course, Kershaw and Scherzer, that duel also. So anything else from these or from something else that kind of piqued your interest from the weekend's games, Dan?
No, I mean, Franmil really, because I feel like Franmil gets forgotten about a little bit just because, we know about all the, Giancarlo Stanton, JD Martinez, Nelson Cruz, all the big hulky guys who hit the ball just right on the nose every single time. But Franmil, huge, huge weekend. You know, he's currently nuts, 25% barrel rate, 65% hard hit rate. That's not going to last. But I do think that he's going to push 40 home runs this year. The Kershaw-Scherzer duel, I really enjoyed watching. Scherzer was a little down in velocity. I'm not sure why. He still obviously got it done. He shouldn't even have given up an earned run if Robles hadn't lost that ball in the sun. But yeah, it was just great to see the old guys still getting it done. But I am a little concerned about Scherzer's velocity. I want to watch that in his next start.
Yeah, so am I. I'm just a little concerned about Scherzer, period. The last couple of years, it just seems like we're getting to that point where age is creeping up, the mileage is creeping up. It's not that he can't be a very good pitcher in fantasy. He can. It's just a matter of what sort of investment you want to make in that going forward. And in any dynasty and keeper league, and I'm speaking as somebody in their keeper league that's got Scherzer and a very high cost in an auction format.
Yep.
He was $50, and you know what? It's a premium pitching kind of format because it's head-to-head points, and I kept him one more time, but I can tell you right now my plan is not to keep him next year. So if I can deal him or if I can just start to plan for the future around that inevitability, I think you want to get out earlier rather than later. It's just something to keep an eye on. All right, before we get to some performances, if we're buying or selling, I want to remind everybody we're giving things away for free here. So go to fantasypros.com/MLB contest, and we've got a Ronald Acuna jersey with your name on it. Actually, it's Ronald Acuna's name, but still, it could have your name on it. All you got to do to get involved with this is take a nice little review screenshot of the show leading off, or any of our podcasts here at Fantasy Pros, if you like. You go over to MLB section there for the contest. It's fantasypros.com/MLB contest. You go, you fill out this little form, you upload your screenshot, and just like that, you are entered to win thanks to our friends at pristineauction.com. And go sign up for pristineauction.com today. Come on now, free Ronald Acuna jersey, let's go. So, I'm going to ask you a little question here. If we're buying or selling some of these performances, Trevor Rogers, 6 innings pitched, no runs, 10 Ks against the Mets. Now, it is the Mets and that offense, so are you buying this? I, for one, am, Dan, because there was a lot of buzz about Rogers in camp. So, once again, that Marlins pitching staff continues to show us that they know what they're doing in terms of growing young pitching.
Yeah, by the way, a great streaming thing that everybody should do is just stream whatever pitcher goes against Jacob deGrom. No matter who it is, you should always just do it regardless.
God, that just hurt my soul.
It's terrible to watch. Regardless, I'm kind of buying it. Yeah, because, again, he didn't have a great start, his first start against St. Louis, but he does have 16 strikeouts now in 10 innings. He sat around 96 in that game. His slider, his changeup, his fastball, they were all getting whiffs. So, yeah, I mean, this Marlins pitching staff, you know, they lost Eliezer Hernandez, that Sixto Sanchez is down, but still, they've got enough arms. So I'm kind of buying Trevor Rogers, yeah, as a usable fantasy starter rest of season.
Okay, we've got Emmanuel Clase and Yimi Garcia as the closers for Cleveland and Miami. So Cleveland, obviously, not going, like, getting a lot of Karen Chat questions. I still picked up Nick Wittgren anyway, just because, you know. But what's your take on these two closer situations?
I think it's Class A. I think he's going to hold it for at least now. I mean, he's got the stuff, and he's got kind of the attitude to do it. And Yimi Garcia, like, I knew everybody was right. All the insiders were right. Anthony Bass was going to get the first start, but Garcia really is more of the closer type of guy. Mm-hmm. So I'm not crazy about Garcia because it's the Marlins and who knows what they're going to do. But Class A for right now, I am buying, but I'm more selling Garcia at the moment.
All right. Kikuchi, by the way, excellent start against the Twins.
Yeah.
He's got 16 Ks in 12 innings. I'm actually buying this one because if you paid attention to the spring and a little bit of last year, you saw him start to make some movement. You know, everybody was so excited about him when we first came in the league and things didn't work out. But patience seems to be prevailing right now. Your thoughts on Kikuchi?
Yeah, it's a great start. Again, so you can shut down the Twins. You've got my attention. And again, for him, it's really his velocity. Now, he had the velocity last year. He's hitting almost 95, you know, sitting almost 95 miles an hour. He had it last year, but everybody's like, oh, 517 ERA. But he had a 337 FIP and a 378 XFIP. So he pitched a lot better than his numbers last year. Again, that's way up from what he had in 2019 when he only had a 92, you know, mile per hour average fastball velocity. So I am buying this. I'm not running to do it. I mean, even now he's got a 5 FIP. But he's a guy who I have my eye on, and if he keeps the velocity, I think he probably is going to wind up being usable more starts than not.
All right, a couple of hitters here. Cedric Mullins slashing 459, 512, 676 with two steals. Not sustainable. Yeah. Also, yeah. Tyler Naquin is 5 dingers and a 1,200 OPS. Now, here's the thing I'm going to say, at least about Naquin. In the minor leagues, track record was very good. He's like a 280 kind of hitter. He's going to make contact. He never quite had this kind of power. Now, granted, it's a good ballpark for him in Cincinnati. All of that is true. Good spot in the order. That's all fine and dandy, but I'm selling the power. I'm buying the player because he's a good baseball player. He just never had the right combination of health and opportunity. What about Mullins for you? What's your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I mean, as long as he holds the leadoff spot, he's going to be valuable. You're right. He's not going to have that preposterous slash line, but he has enough speed to matter. He walked like 8% of the time in the minors. So if he can do that and continue to grow, even if I don't buy how well he's playing right now, if he holds the leadoff spot, and again, Hayes is on the IL, so there's no reason that he shouldn't, then I think that he's kind of a sneaky guy. These are the types of guys, Joe, they don't win you the championships because they're not the superstars. But when you're in a roto league, especially, and you can plug a guy like this in as your fifth outfielder, they make a difference. So for me, I've added Mullins in a bunch of leagues because I do think that at least for now, I'm going to ride the streak. And I think he'll probably have some value all year long. Naquin, I don't think, is going to be long for the leadoff role. Eventually, and he'll cool off. But he's a guy who you can ride for right now.
Well, baseball is a game of streaks, and we always talk about that too. And I think knowing when to ride the streak and get out from the streak, and sometimes it's wrong. I remember I think it was the first year of Whit Merrifield, me having a ton of shares that I picked off the waiver wire, and I just got antsy about it. I was like, this has got to stop sometime, right? It just got, and now here we are 3 years later, it hasn't stopped. So in, thank God those leagues were in keeper formats.
But like, right.
But again, in the redraft situations, that's always something to understand. It's like, hey, sometimes you're going to get out and it's going to be wrong. But more often than not, when you see these kind of numbers, 1200 OPS from Tyrod Naquin's not sustainable.
Right.
A 676 and a 459 batting average. You know, that's not sustainable for Cedric Mullins. Things are going to come back down. Montas bounce back. That's good.
Yep.
Anthony Descalfani shut down the Rockies, allowed just one run with 12 Ks. These two performances, are you buying them? I'm buying Montas. I think you and I both are. And Descalfani's got some, you know, he's like, you know what? I'm going to stream Descalfani today. Or it's like, I feel like that's the Descalfani feel. Like that's kind of his mojo. Where do you live with those two pitchers?
So Montas, I mean, look, the really thing is I benched him for his two-start week where, you know, you had to get him both against the Dodgers and the Astros. And I said, he's probably going to get hit hard against the Astros. Then don't panic because he's got the Tigers next. Great to see him bounce back earlier than expected. So full go there, sitting 95, 96, 97. I really like what I see. Descalfani is a guy who I never give proper credit to. And all I can think of is like, it's like 6 years ago at this point where like, you know, Saris, you know, one of the brilliant pitching minds out there for The Athletic, he used to love Descalfani. And every year I would hear him like pump him up and always be like, and he just never really came to fruition. But other than last year, he's actually been a pretty decent minor major league like caliber starter, just somebody who you more stream. I'm intrigued right now. You know, again, you shut down the Rockies outside of Coors, not a huge deal. But for me, I'm intrigued by Descalfani. But yeah, I'm still very, very hesitant on running out to Adam. Like if Montas is out there, I'm doing whatever I can to Adam Descalfani.
He's a stopgap pitcher. He's a guy like if you have an injury and you can pick him up in a trade or he's on a waiver wire somehow, which is unlikely. You know, you're like, oh, yeah, I'll ride with that.
Yep.
Byron Buxton, another homer yesterday. Five homers, 1,700 OPS. Look, let's just put this to bed. Of course, we're buying this. So come on.
I mean, all day long.
We got to stay on brand here. What are we doing?
All day long.
All right. Let's talk about some performances and ask about these pitchers and players if we're going to be selling them off. This first one hits home for me. Chris Paddock, I have a lot of shares. Three runs over four innings against the Rangers on Saturday. He struck out just six and eight innings. However, his start this week, I don't know if you know this, comes against who? The Pittsburgh Pirates. Are you willing to go once more into the breach, dear friend, once more, or close the wall up with your Chris Paddock dead arm? I guess that's the question. It's a little Shakespeare for you on a Monday morning.
I was really going to say, man, we go old with our references, but now we're going, you know, whatever medieval.
Why shouldn't we be highbrow here
it's
in
fair.
The program?
It's very highbrow, as everybody knows. So I'm not selling Chris Paddock. He has had two matchups with Arizona and Texas. They are not the hardest matchups.
They're not.
What really worries me, though, Joe, is, again, coming into the year, you and I were both kind of buying the bounce back. And a lot of it was just, for me, he added the cutter last year. And I thought that messed with his fastball movement. And he's ditched the cutter this year. Fastball still is not back to what it used to be. Batters are teeing off against it. Last year, they hit 308. So far, they're hitting 333. I'm nervous. But again, the Pittsburgh Pirates, without Cabrian Hayes, I'd be willing to start anybody. So I'm not selling, but I'm not buying. Like, I'm not out there trying to buy low on Chris Paddock, even though you could say, well, he's got the Pirates now. Maybe he's a prime buy low candidate before the start. I would still be a little cautious, and I'm holding. I'm not selling or buying right now.
I'll tell you what you do. You let him pitch against Pittsburgh, and then you sell him. That's what you do. You let him pitch against Pittsburgh, and then you sell him and see
unless
what you can get.
Unless he gets bombed. Unless he gets bombed.
If he gets booked. But look, he has no value on the open market right now anyway.
He might, though, Joe, because it's only two starts. I guarantee you that people who drafted Chris Paddock right now are listening to that. Not guarantee, but there are some out there who
Chris
Paddock who say I don't know. I'm not willing to jump off the cliff after two starts. I want to see where this goes. So I don't know, man. I think he's still got value out there, and I don't know. I wouldn't be making a move either way for him.
I'm going to be making a move with him, or looking to at least, after this Pittsburgh start. Because I think now is a tough time. You're selling him low. If he bombs against the Pirates, well, okay, you just take your lumps and you say, okay, I'm going to take an L this year on Chris Paddock. But if you're trying to get out, this is the time. All right, a couple other guys here. Marcelo Ozuna, 36% strikeout rate. Duh, he's a very streaky hitter. Don't be surprised by this. He had a great run last year. Go look at his historic track record with the Marlins, with the Cardinals.
Yep.
Last year was only 60 games, so you never got to see the bad Ozuna. I always knew this was coming, and here it is. Conforto, obviously off to a bad start. Clint Frazier benched twice this weekend. Lots of moves. The Yankees are like, you know what? No, you're not hitting. Forget it. We're done. We're moving on. Look, if you're going to give me Conforto or Frazier in a deal, I'm taking them. Ozuna, this is just who he is. So for me, this is kind of how I see this. It's like, this is a great buy low opportunity for Conforto and Frazier. I would go ahead, especially on Conforto. Too much of a good track record. Your thoughts on these three hitters?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you have established guys, and I think Conforto falls into that, like Ozuna and Conforto, because I get questions about them, so I'm like, all right, no, you don't worry about it. I know Conforto was supposed to bat sixth, had the game not been postponed yesterday, idiots, but I'm still not worried about him. He will bounce back, so will Ozuna. The only thing that worries me about Frazier is, and this was a little bit of my worry with the Yankees, the pitching is so bad, and they're not hitting that. They are very impatient right now. And a guy like Frazier, I don't think has the track record enough where the Yankees are going to give him a long leash. As you can see, he was benched twice this weekend. So I think, you know, with that, I'm a little worried about Frazier. Like, I have a weekly lineup. I have benched him this week. But long term, I still think, look, it's somebody's going to get injured and Brett Gardner isn't going to hold down like a left field role all year. So I'm still fine with Frazier. But for the short term, I am kind of sitting him for now.
All right, let's move on to our next segment here. Let's do a little, should we drop them? Because they're not hot. It's Corey Kluber starting a terrible start on Friday. By the way, two innings there for him. CJ Krohn 0 for 6. I know that one hits you home personally. I know a lot of CJ Krohn love there. Yes. I would say just hang tight there. Yeah. Andrés Giménez, that one hits me personally there. And he got, and you know what? I got out of the Andrés Giménez business the last 2 weeks. The last 2 weeks, his ADP in drafts I was in and price and auction skyrocketed.
We talked about it in Tout. In Tout. Right?
He was like a $21 player. Like, and I said, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
And then, of course, Karinchak. So are you dropping all of these guys? I'm not dropping Giménez or Krohn. Kluber, if there's a better option, I'm willing to do it. Maybe it's just done. Karinchak, I'm willing to do it because, you know, it's just you got to chase saves. How do you approach these guys?
So, I mean, I think the short story is that I don't. If you want to drop anybody, none of these guys is undroppable by any means. Mm-hmm. I personally probably would not drop any of them. I don't have any shares of Kluber because this was my concern. The guy basically hasn't pitched in 3 years. Let's see. But again, he hasn't pitched in 3 years. Maybe he will bounce back. Krohn, no, it's annoying because they have been home a lot, but you still want to see what they have there. Giménez, again, he did homer over the weekend, but still not doing all that much. I would like to hold there. Karinchak, you can drop. I probably would still hold because he will get you strikeouts regardless. And if Classe has any sort of hiccup, he'll probably be back in the role. So I'm probably trying to hold all of these guys if I can. And this is one where I'm trying to, you know, preach the patience to at least hold to see where things go.
All right. As I mentioned earlier in the show, Dan, we are the kings of keeping it real. So
yes,
in the spirit of keeping it real here, are we ready to admit that we were wrong already in mid-April about two players? Randy Rosarena, certainly I was beating that drum, and so far he's been beating a lot of pitching. 313, 351, 514 slash looks like a stud. Again, only a couple weeks into the season, but homer twice this weekend. So for your Rosarena truthers, it was a good weekend for you. And Zach Plesac, 7 innings pitched, no runs, 6 Ks against the Tigers. Now the ERA is at 1.38 and 8.5 whip, which is your guy. So I'm not willing quite yet, but it's certainly getting closer and closer to me saying, okay, you know what? Rosarena is making the adjustments and I'm proud of him, but I don't have regrets about drafting him as a top 50 player, which is basically where he was. How about you for Plesac? Are you willing to get there or not quite?
I will say that I think I'm ready to certainly admit that my bold prediction of he'll be less than 25% rostered by the end of April is probably not going to come to fruition. I will say he's faced the Tigers twice, so I'm not fully willing to sort of say, oh God, this guy is definitely going to be a usable guy all year long. And he's got 10 strikeouts in 13 innings without the strikeouts. But for now, look at Cleveland, man. This is what they do. They figure it out with all these guys who just have command. So my guess is Plesac. At least I'm not ready yet. It's 2 starts, but I'm trending towards being like, yeah, that's an error on me right there.
You and I are, you know, we're in the deep water right now.
Yeah.
We're in the deep water. Yeah. We're treading. But the water's getting deeper. I just want to put that out there. There may or may not be a shark.
They're not all going to be winners. They're not all winners.
They're not. But you know what? I think people appreciate when, you know, there's nothing worse than the analysts in the fantasy community that are never wrong about anything. I think it's so unreasonable. I constantly make fun of myself about the year that I wrote about Dallas Keuchel saying, hey, he's a nice pitcher, but he's never going to win a Cy Young. And then that year he won a Cy Young.
Yeah.
I love that. I think it's always fun to like say, hey, you know what? We're human too. But you know what? More often than not, we're going to be right. But I think it's the worst when you don't admit when you're wrong, because if you don't admit when you're wrong, how can you continue to help everybody and say, hey, I was wrong about this. Let's go and fix it. let's figure out how now we can buy shares of it and figure it out. Because you know what? Sometimes, you know, you eat the bear and sometimes the bear, he eats you. That's a little Big Lebowski reference for you on a Monday morning. All right, let's do some injury news here. And there's a lot of it, of course. I'm mad about this first one, by the way, because Trent Grisham returned from his hamstring injury and homered twice. And I had him in that lineup. And I said, you know what? I don't want to do this. I'm going to take him out tonight. And I was so mad that afterwards, and I missed pay lines because of it. So once again, a little loser talk this morning. Cody Bellinger finally hit the IL with a calf injury. No timetable for him. Christian Yelich left Sunday's game with lower back soreness. That ain't good. Very problematic there. Mookie Betts sat out all weekend with a back issue himself. Anthony Rendon was out of the lineup with a groin injury and he won't play. Possible IL stint coming for him. Josh Bell, Kyle Schwarber could be activated from COVID-19 list, possibly today. Also, good news, God knows the Diamondbacks need some. Zach Gallen expects to start Tuesday. And I told everybody, let's not panic and freak out here. Zach Gallen never stopped throwing. Let's give him some time. This was it's great because also you knew his innings are going to be limited. So if he misses a start or two, who cares? It's fine. George Springer's oblique is healed, but it's still day-to-day with a quad. Colton Wong hit the IL with an oblique. Tyler O'Neill hit with a groin injury. Jared Walsh, obviously, Dexter Fowler out for the season with a torn ACL, which obviously that's good for Jared Walsh and some other guys, maybe Brandon Marsh, maybe Joe Adell will keep an eye on all that.
Yep.
Archie Bradley hit the IL with an oblique, Miguel Cabrera on the IL with a bicep strain, Chris Archer, IL with forearm tartness, everybody hurt.
Gosh.
Everybody's on the IL.
This is what it is. This is what it is. Navigate, expand your bench spots, you know, especially with the year off. I feel like it's just, this is what we're going to deal with all year long. After a weekend, it's going to be like a 12-minute segment on injuries. So expand your bench spots. Just do, everybody's dealing with the same thing. You'll get through it.
Oh my goodness. All right. One of the things that helps you get through summertime, especially, is of course, Manscaped, the sponsor of our show, because once again, you're going to be out at the pool, you're going to be out at the beach, you want to be out in the sun, you want to take that shirt off, and you want to make sure that it doesn't look like a forest there. So go to manscaped.com and start getting involved and take care of yourself a little bit. Have some me time for you. That's right, the Lawnmower 3.0. They've spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever. You can trim the chest hair, the ball hair, the back hair, all the hair. That's right, versatility. That's why we like Manscaped. Also, they have advanced skin-safe technology pioneered by Manscaped. The battery will last up to 90 minutes, so you can just, you know, kind of just go out there for 90 minutes. I mean, I don't know who needs it for 90 minutes straight, but if you do, the lawnmower's there for you. It's also got that quiet stroke technology. Shh, don't tell nobody, because it's so quiet. And of course, we can get that for you at a discount. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code LEADINGOFF at manscaped.com. Again, that's 20% off and free shipping with the code LEADINGOFF at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you, and so will probably everyone in your life. So let's get to the DFS slate. 12 games tonight, a whole lot to get through. Let's start with the good chalk. The good chalk tonight, I'm going to go back to that Houston well. Just like, you know, you kept going back to that Toronto well, and eventually it paid. Well, I'm going to go back to that Houston well, and I'm going to go to the Yankee well tonight, too, actually against the Toronto Blue Jays with Gerrit Cole on the mound. That's the good chalk. Let's talk about the cash game arms. We got Cole against Toronto, who's very expensive, Glasnow versus Texas, and Greinke versus Detroit. Now, obviously, in terms of matchup, Greinke versus Detroit at home, probably the best of them. He's going against Casey Mize. You're looking for somewhere around 40-plus points from your pitcher on FanDuel. Glasnow and Cole, clearly capable, but a little bit more expensive. I'm going to go pay up for Cole. I know it's a second start against the Blue Jays in three turns, but still, that's the way I'm going. How about you?
Yeah, I don't have like a crazy strong preference. I think I might go with Glasnow. I've been so impressed with what I saw from him coming in. And the Rangers right now, they just can't hit. I mean, they literally couldn't hit on Saturday night against Musgrove. But I'm going to pick on them. The Blue Jays, I think Cole, even at his price, is a fine start because he can shut down anybody. But in, you know, Dunedin? Yeah, that's it. I think I've got it now. with that lineup, I think I'll just lean towards Glasnow at a slight discount there.
Oh, let me tell you, Glasnow has been very impressive, there's no doubt. Yep. And speaking of like the Rangers and the Yankees, I don't know if I saw anything more off-putting than clean-shaven Rougned Odor this weekend. That was
weird, but hey, it worked for him, right? I mean, he came through there.
I mean, clean-shaven Joe Pisapia here on the YouTube channel, Fancy Pros, also off-putting, no doubt about that.
Yes,
Rougned Odor, I didn't even know who he was. I was like, who is that guy? What is him? You know?
Well, if he hits and wins game for them, they'll be fine.
It was like
it.
Jorge Posada's like like kid or something. It was very weird. Very weird. All right. Let's go with some GPP arms for tonight. On FanDuel, you got Peralta at 7.6. My boy, Freddie P. Yep. Going against the Cubs again, you've got Carlos Rodon, which is Dan's guy, against Cleveland. He's just 8.3 yep. over on FanDuel. On DK, when we're looking at the secondary arms, Alcantara, 8.5 against Atlanta. A little bit of an oppo play. You know, is on the mound. But I think there's possibility there with Alcantara because big strikeouts for the Atlanta Braves. We mentioned Ozuna not hitting well. There's some opportunity there. Freddie Peralta at 7.7. Dane Dunning as a secondary arm at 6.6 is intriguing tonight because I think he can kind of match a little bit. He probably doesn't have a lot of win equity, but still good strikeout potential there against Tampa Bay. So Peralta, Alcantara, and Dunning, those kind of where I'm looking. Anybody else on DK as a secondary arm peak for you tonight?
No, those were the names I had on my list as well. Well done. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yay, I get to come back to work tomorrow, everybody.
Yeah, still dicey. All right,
still a process. We'll see what happens. the stacks of the day. I like the Yankees. I like Washington and Houston. Once again, keeping it simple. Mize looked terrible in the spring. I don't think he's got, you know, five quality innings in him. And Washington against Gant tonight, I'm going to go all in on, especially if we do get some of these guys starting to return to the lineup. You're going to see me with a lot of Washington. And it's not hard on FanDuel, Dan, tonight to get Soto, Turner, and Gerrit Cole in a lineup. We'll tell you how with the lineup builders in a second. But Dan, what other stacks? Because there might be some sneaky ones out there, too.
This is going to sound disgusting, and I, you know, it's more of a contrarian stack right now, but I don't mind the A's against Bumgarner.
I had them as the sneaky stack, too.
Okay, very good, because it's like the irresistible force meets the immovable object in that the A's lineup is terrible, but Bumgarner is worse, I think, than the A's lineup is terrible right now. And again, I don't think they're going to be particularly highly rostered here in DFS because I think it's the A's, but they're, especially on FanDuel, I mean, everybody is just super cheap at this point, and you and I could probably get in there against you, maybe not me, a normal athletic human being could get in there against Bumgarner right now and get some hits. So they're a little bit of a sneaky snack, which I like to get as well. Right now, I'm silently eating something. That's one of the other ones that I would mention. But I do like the Nats for sure. Do you have any hesitancy, real quick, about if Josh Bell comes off? I mean, I don't know if he's even going to be available. Do you start the guys who haven't played at all, like coming right into
you start
this?
Them in the weekly leagues, and I think you just take the plunge right away, especially after what we saw last year when these guys are back from COVID. Like we saw, like, every time a team missed time with COVID, remember the Cardinals came back with a vengeance, the Marlins came back and raked. I mean, it seems like everybody's a little time off is actually not a problem for these guys. But to build on what Dan's saying, Oakland, Miami, and Kansas City are all sneaky little offenses tonight. If you want to be a sneaky snake and try to get in there with some of these, Baltimore, Seattle is also a kind of down the run. This bad pitching in this game, it's in Baltimore.
There is weather concerns a little
there's
bit there.
There's weather concerns. That's the only problem there, but keep that in mind. And the Mets and Phillies, too, I think you're probably going to see some runs, not a whole lot, but some potentially in that one.
There's a lot of options, man. At 12 games late, there's a lot here tonight.
Keep an eye on the weather, though, especially. All right, so this is what you're all waiting for. Let's do this, and then we'll get out of here. Our FanDuel lineup builders, get your pens and pencils or your notepads or your Blackberries, whatever the hell you're doing, and get them ready, okay? Haniger, 3.1 on FanDuel. Mancini on FanDuel, 3.1. Torres and Urshela, you want to get in on that Yankee game? Torres and Urshela is the way to go. These guys are starting to heat up a little bit, swing the bat better. 2.7 for Torres, 2.4 on FanDuel for Urshela. What? Yeah. And both of them, circle it. More expensive on DK in terms of price margin by a wide margin. Jeff McNeil, 2.9. Albies has been struggling, but he's still at the top of the order, 2.8. Eventually, it's going to come around just like Rafael Devers did. Remember that? Yeah, that started to work out, didn't it? Jared Walsh at 3.1. Also, Mike Yastrzemski, 2.7 on FanDuel. He's going against a lefty tonight? Yeah. How about last year? He had a 9.97 OPS against left-handed pitching. Put it in the books, also much more expensive on DK. Jed Lowry, I can't believe I'm saying this, Jed Lowry at 2.4, and Matt Olson to that Oakland stack that Dan Harris was talking about at 2.8. On DraftKings, Brandon Nimmo and Gene Segura in that Mets game are cheap. Robles at the top of that order at 3.2 for the Nats. Gurriel at 3.9, Laureano at 3.8, and Jonathan India at 3.6. All these guys are good lineup builders, decent matchups, good potential. So, Dan, it's that time again. It's time to call our shot, and that's it. The weekend's over, fresh week, new start. It's time for somebody to get on the board. We're going with the big boys tonight. We're not holding back. Who you got tonight? to go yard, to leave the yard and go get that home run. Finally, get somebody on the board here.
I'm going with Giancarlo Stanton. They're going up against Robbie Ray. I just feel like, come on, at this point. I know everybody loved Robbie Ray in the spring. Like, they loved him last year in the spring. I will never buy Robbie Ray. So I'm going with, you know, I like the Yankees for the righty bats in this one. I'm going with Stanton in Dunedin. I mean, he could hit a pop fly and that thing's going out. So I'm going with Giancarlo Stanton as my home run call of the night.
That's right. We need in a home run really bad. Juan Soto's where I'm going. We're just pulling it. We are cheaping out tonight just to get on the board. So we just get on the board. Hopefully Juan Soto and Stanton are those guys tonight. I told you, you can work these guys into lineups with Cole and FanDuel. DK, it's a little bit more difficult, but we've given you all the tools to be successful. And speaking of tools to be successful, make sure you get that Lawnmower 3.0. See what I did there at Manscaped. Again, go to manscaped.com. Want to thank our sponsor of today's show. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code LEADINGOFF. And get in on that Ronald Acuna jersey. It's not going to give away itself. Go to fantasypros.com/MLB contest. And there you can get involved. All you got to do is fill out the form, take the review, do a screenshot, and boom, you're entered to win thanks to our friends at Pristine Auction. That'll do it for Dan Harris and myself. We'll be back again tomorrow. But the story of the game goes on. We'll see you next time, kids. This has been Leading Off.